As I just got back to my desk, I was wondering if any of you are having problems on Phoenix with getting an error that says your BitGo account is locked. Mine's doing that, and I can't withdraw or trade or do anything.
Okay, let me explain. So, if you're a U.S. verified customer, you had a special arrangement that was set up with BitGo to make it CFTC compliant. Unfortunately, when we had the hack, sort of some customers were affected, some weren't, but BitGo, in their wisdom, decided to stop co-signing any transactions from anyone. So, there are coins that may be stuck in your BitGo account that we can't do anything with. And as a result, we have to freeze your account until we can. I think BitGo is sending instructions as to what to do about that, but we're dealing with it on a kind of one-off, case-by-case basis, and it's a headache, but it is what it is.
Okay, so case by case, that means it'll just get dealt with like through the
It's
support ticket
gonna
system.
get it's gonna it's gonna get resolved. I apologize for the delay, but it's a complexity that it is affecting a small percentage of our customers, and I apologize that you're part of it.
When that gets resolved, will it be part of the next announcements?
I think we're kind of just resolving those on a case-by-case basis. I think. I'm not entirely sure. I'm not directly involved in it.
What about the BFX coins though, or tokens? Is that part of BitGo? Because I can't move those to my exchange wallet because of the BitGo error.
Yeah, no, where anybody associated with the BitGo problem, the wallets are frozen until we can settle it out. I mean, I really apologize for the inconvenience, but we really don't have another choice until we get more information and we can figure it out.
China trying to go lower.
God damn piece shit.
Wojciech, did you see the news? First Polish patient wakes from a coma due to brain stimulator implant.
Could you repeat?
I'll post a link in the box. Basically, a Polish man was in a coma, and they implanted a brain stimulator in his brain, and he woke up out of the coma because of it.
In other words, they walked in with vodka in the room.
He took a perfectly healthy Polish guy and put something in his brain, and he's better now.
No, what they did
he was
they
in a coma.
Put this little piece of metal in his like spinal cord area and shocked him a bunch of times. And then he woke up.
It's pretty funny title because it says that first Polish patient wakes up from the coma due to brain stimulator.
Not because of the brain stimulator, but because he's Polish.
Yeah, something like that.
I wonder if they tried other things like got a fluffer in and try to wake him up that way and things as well.
What, with like a blowy?
Yeah. Nope, that didn't work. Alright, tickle his toes. Nah, that didn't work either.
Is a swap man in here? Swap man, you here, brother?
Yeah.
Hey, Shek, what's your favorite Polish meal?
I don't know if you know the word, it's pierogi.
Yeah, pierogies, hell yeah. Swapman, what's the go with you? The boys were saying last night that you've got like a big foot fetish or something. Do you care to comment?
What's a pierogi?
It's a dumpling.
Pierogi? You don't know what a pierogi is?
Oh, I know, I may know it by a different name. I know what a dumpling is.
It's pretty much a dumpling, yeah. But
what, with fruit? Is it savory?
They make them all sorts of ways.
It's normally mushrooms, isn't it?
The one I'm talking about is pierogi ruskie, so Russian pierogi. And it has some.
One I have has potato mushrooms and cheese in it, savory cheese.
It has human liver. And onion.
Now, it's either got beef or
well,
cheese.
Well, that's the asterisk special.
Go on, Peter. Yeah, exactly. What are you got?
Potato, white cheese, some onion, and pepper. And basically, that's all, and it's all amazing.
Yeah, that's a recipe to get me fat again. Oh, wait, I'm back.
Is it like in a soupy kind of clear broth, or is it like just on its own?
They're usually fried. Or pan roasted.
You can boil them, you can fry them, whatever you want.
But it's a big dumpling, it's not the little ones that you have in like soup.
It's potato ravioli.
But a big one.
You can make them small, big one, whatever you want.
No, because I used to go to Austria a lot, and like they do dumpling stuff, but they do a lot of sweet stuff. Really sweet. But, they're huge. That'd be a whole piece of fruit.
Like a big watermelon and a dumpling?
Yeah, a big watermelon dumpling. That was this jelly.
It looks like a Cornish pasty. Put it that way.
I swear I've seen what you're talking about. Yeah,
pierogi. It looks like a Cornish pasty, but it's a dumpling. It isn't pastry.
It's quite small.
The ones I had were pretty decent size, like maybe half the size of my hand. Yeah, about half the size of my hand. With like pleated edges.
Yeah. Alright, so actually visually looks like a pasty as well.
Yeah, it looks like a pasty, but it's just obviously like a dumpling.
I got mine from Old Town in Warsaw, Wojciech. We went to this old, I think it's like the oldest pierogi sort of shop there. It was so good.
Is it typically like a winter thing, or is it all year round?
Every time.
It's specifically only July 12th to January 22nd.
Oh, you're an
idiot. Otherwise, it's strictly prohibited.
I love you. You guys ever had an empanada? The Mexican?
Yeah.
Spanish version?
Have you ever eaten tongues of the cows and swines?
Yes.
Once, I think.
It's ox's tongue normally, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a very good meal as well.
Not my favorite.
Yes.
Alright, are we shorting or longing quarterlies? What the fuck?
We're longing BFX prime.
Ethereum is going down. That's what I see.
We're all going long in Lisk.
Are you still trying to get out of Lisk?
It's not a fact of getting out, because I'm in profit.
You're still trying to get out of Lisk.
I'm trying to make,
We want economic classes up.
I want everything to stay down until I get my BFX coins turn into USD so I can buy back my coins and not lose any.
Dude, that's like 3 months, 12 months minimum.
Yep, I'm committed.
No, don't be so doubtful.
You just said it.
So, Phil, you're going to start sponsoring some MMA matches to drum up revenue? Bet on Bitcoin?
It's like 3 to 6 months, potentially.
I'm just saying, anything can happen.
No, I believe it. Fuck, mate, if you've never lied before. I reckon if you say 3 to 6 months, I've got high hopes.
Yeah.
Look, I just don't. We have an intense interest in redeeming these as soon as possible.
PGP, with your talk, my bits at 10 cents will never get filled. At the end.
Say again?
My bits at 10 cents will never get filled because of your talk.
It'll never get filled.
No deal.
Yeah, remember, we're not using Redeem anymore. PGP, we're using Hair Extension.
Anyone who sells at that sells down to that price is being foolish. What I'll say is this. We have not revealed a lot of information about the token or what have you, but I can tell you one thing for sure is that we have reserves for contingent liabilities. So, you know, in case we get sued and this and that, but substantial amount of money. So if that stuff doesn't happen, if we're able to pay back people, there is actually money there that to pay back this loan, at least in part. So at least 10% of it is redeemable at the end of the day, should we not need, you know, the monies for a wind down.
That's good.
That's 10 cents on the dollar.
Well, I mean, it's something.
Yeah, but then that's 10 cents on the dollar now, and then we'll still get, you know, we'll get more paybacks over time. He's just saying that.
It's not huge or anything like that, but like people who they're talking about selling it down at 15, 13 cents on the dollar, it's like, well, I'd be careful about that because there are some recoverable assets here, besides the haircut, and that are probably at least worth 10 cents on the dollar.
Is the likelihood of some kind of legal action in whatever shape or form. I'm sure there's going to be. I'd be very surprised if there wasn't. You know, I'd just be very surprised if there wasn't.
Oh, we would be foolish not to anticipate that. Our goal is to avoid those actions as much as possible. Look, we're trying to do something here that's innovative. I agree. Unorthodox. I agree. But we're trying to create the greatest amount of value for the greatest number of people as we can. I mean,
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to find that path, trying to find that path of least resistance to success.
No, and I see that working. I don't see that being like class act or anything like that. What I mean is, I think there would possibly be like a big holder that was that was uneasy about the situation that may. I mean, I don't know who's involved, but I mean, that's the risk that I see.
There was a guy on Reddit, I mean, fuck, he's probably full of shit, but talking up how he's buying $300,000 worth of BFX coins.
Well, I don't think the liquidity there for that is, I mean, if I go on the last time I checked, there's only 150K's worth available. And that's not being bought or sold.
I think
it's going to take a while for the liquidity here to fully get unlocked. So, yeah, we had a decent first day, but there's a lot of hodlers, and I don't blame them. That's what I'd be doing. But, so you have to think, like, there's really not that many people out there that are willing to seek liquidity in their claims right now.
Well, maybe part of that is because they want to make sure that when they do sue, that they are not tainting their case by the fact that they got out.
That's exactly right. And that's why we issued this with no waiver or disclaimer. Like, that's entirely their right. We hope to redeem, you know, that debt before we have a problem. I mean, look, lawsuits take a long time. We think that we're going to be able to resolve this situation in a matter of 3 to 6 months. So, sort of far faster than the average life cycle of your average lawsuit. So, hopefully we can resolve a lot of this before that becomes a problem. Hopefully a lot of people will recognize that we're doing our best to try to resolve this and not go out and spend a bunch of money on lawyers and just kind of wait and see. All I can say is, like, give us some breathing room to, like, try to resolve the situation before you go out and spend money on a lawyer.
Hey, PGP, can you give us any more tidbits about the legal, like, hey, we called the American authorities or the Italian or whatever. Like, can you just give us, you can't tell us a case or anything, but just any little tidbit, just, like, about what happened.
Marty. No, I can't. You know I can't do that.
Oh, can you at least say when you will release some transparency about the books?
Come on. I will release it when I can release it. I mean, but...
Sorry, okay, in a month or 2 months will we hear something
I can't even estimate. I don't know when the investigation will be finished. I have no idea.
But how can you just haircut the whole creditors to Bitfinex?
Well, I can haircut based upon... We had to take action. We did a very conservative haircut, which we feel like we are going to be able to improve. In other words, we'll be able to... credit people back some money in the short term once the dust settles on some stuff. So that'll be a positive. I mean, nothing huge, but at least we'll put a finer point on the number. But we knew what the number was at least, and we knew what we needed to do to stay solvent. So we did what we had to do. We also understood at the same time that we have to be able to fight off legal challenges and other expenses and what have you. So we also built in some reserves into that number. But anything that's excess is going to be returned to the note holders. So, but we just need some time to sort that out.
Put it all on plastic and pretend that Monday never happened.
From what I understand of what's going on, you know, BFX has enough money in their reserves already to give everyone a 10% hair extension. And still, and that's not even including, you know, money that's going to be coming in from investors and profits and other avenues as well. So to sell your coins at less than, you know, 50, 60, 70 cents on the dollar is just stupid.
Okay. All right. So let me just be very clear. We have not revealed what the size of the reserves are here. Okay. But we have some reserves that are earmarked for legal defense and other issues. The extent to which those don't need to be spent on that because we're able to successfully resolve the situation, those will be returned to the coin holders. And it's, you know, it's a significant amount of money, but it's a small percentage of the total. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to be as transparent as I can be, but that's all I can tell you.
It still says trading.
Are you going to be able to provide us a case number at the agency that you have a case at?
Yeah, maybe I'm not involved in any of that stuff, so maybe.
I mean,
perhaps
that's sort of a big issue.
I get
like
it.
We're not asking you to reveal anything that would taint the case. Like, this is.
I don't disagree. I'm just, you're asking the wrong guy. So,
who should we be asking in that case?
Well, I've heard this comment several times this evening. I've already passed it on to the other people on my team. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to presume that Zane is going to come forward with information about who to contact if you have something to say.
I mean, you've specifically said to disregard things Zane has said, so I'm assuming that you have like a higher authority or something.
No. I was very specific about a particular thing that Zane said because he just didn't have all the information. So, generally speaking,
who should we be talking to in this?
If Zane comes to you and says, if anybody has the information they want to share with the FBI, contact X, Y, and Z, or use this case number, yes, you should believe him. That's not going to be a lie.
Well, I'm asking, like obviously you have a case somewhere. I believe you've said that publicly.
I do not have a case number.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'm not involved. Trust me when I say I'm 1,000 miles away from anything that's going on in that category. If I had more information, I would share with you. I don't have it. I don't know. All I can know is that
you don't know about your ongoing legal case involving Bitfinex.
I don't know about what's going on with our ongoing interfacing with law enforcement. That is, I have nothing to do with that.
That would make sense because, you know, that they're investigating and they're not going to tell all the information to BFX.
Not only that, I'm not the guy at BFX that deals with that. I have my silo. I'm dealing with it right now. So and trust me, right now at the firm, everybody's dealing specifically with their own silo because that's all we have the time to do with right now. So, like, I'm trying to, you know, it's 1:30 in the morning for me. I'm just trying to talk to my peeps right now on TeamSpeak and trying to answer questions as best I can. But I don't know. On the law enforcement side, I don't know what's going on.
Well, mate, have a vodka with me, mate. I'm having a beer right now. So
but do you know anyone? Like, yeah, can you tell us who's silo?
Good man.
Like anything?
Look, it's a good question. Zane, if Zane comes out with any kind of like comments about it, like I would, that are specific, I would.
Who's in charge of Bitfinex? Who's the head of, who is the, where's the buck stop guy? Who is that?
Bob, just like I'm not the CEO. What do you want me to tell you?
Can I ask a question? I'm trying to different.
Sure.
Sorry, it's just been like obviously we're not getting anything out of that, so I just don't know why we keep asking. The Trezor discount with the Bitfenix code. Do you guys take offense to that, or is it sort of all in good spirits? How are you feeling about that, PGP?
What are you talking about, Viper?
Trezor has a discount at the moment, 20% off Trezors, if you use the code Bitfenix. And they're saying that like Trezor's got a haircut and you get 20% off if you use that code.
Yeah, more power to them. I mean, I don't care.
Yeah, cool. I just wanted to see how you guys are taking it, but obviously you didn't know.
I didn't know, but like I'm all in favor of anybody trying to find some way to, you know, get a market angle here.
Okay, yeah, so cool. Phil, how about you partner with Ultra Cuts? Every time we sign up for a new account, we get a free haircut at our local Ultra Cuts.
not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. But I can tell you one entity we're not going to partner up with is those fucking guys over at BitMEX.
Is that because of the BFX coin trading that they're doing?
I don't know. I just like the seemingly over the top, possibly inappropriate blog post by the CEO of the company. I don't know.
Fair enough.
They've made missteps in the past themselves. I've never been openly critical, but I don't know.
I think it's a bit hypocritical of them to be pointing fingers at socialized losses anyway, right?
Just saying. Yeah, you know, and the point I want to make is that, like, I do like Arthur and I like Sam, and I thought I liked them. You know, and these are guys that, like, I talked to a bunch, I've met with in person several times. Like, I feel like we were trying to maybe do something and between organizations, and I don't know. I just find them.
Are you sure that they didn't
little
have
blog post, like, really strangely strange, just downright strange.
Are you sure that they didn't have a bigger kind of funds on Bitfinex?
Well, I just think that they hopped onto a carcass. They realized it's a lot bigger than they could eat.
BitMEX is a bucket shop anyway, though, yeah?
No.
BitMEX is the best.
I'm just the perceived carcass, I think that's the right term.
PGP, did it seem at all odd to you that BitMEX is now issuing futures on the Bitfinex coin and that they're not, the coins, as I understand, are not actually on the Omni network yet, but there's already BitMEX futures and apparently some depth?
Well, it doesn't have to be externally withdrawable for them to be able to do something like that. But I will share an anecdote. So while we're doing this whole deployment, we redeployed everything into a new data center, right? And so there were some hiccups in that process, specifically with the with some of our web sockets were spitting out JSON's in different, basically different form, like a V1 format versus a V2 format, and it was inconsistent, and they were overlapping, and there was something inconsistent was happening. And I'll share this because why not? But the BitMEX people were complaining really loudly about how dare you introduce change? It's a breaking change, and this. And I'm like, well, no, we're not introducing a change. It's just we're having an issue with the WebSocket. We'll fix it. Relax. Hold on. And the reason why they're all bent out of shape is because they're trying to release this future based upon the BFX token, and they can't get a reliable data stream out of us for whatever reason, for like a 15-minute period. And they're like riding us like assholes that like, get your shit together. Like, why can't we get this data? Blah, blah, blah. Well, meanwhile, while they're posting these like, you know, really, defamatory, blog posts, and now saying, okay, well, now we're going to list futures on your BFX coin. And boy, they need our market data like they, you know, like water in the desert, and they are denigrating us both privately and publicly about the market data while we're in the middle of trying to do a big transition and rollout. And I don't know, so
they were doing that to you live here in TeamSpeak hours ago.
So I share that story as is for your consumption.
Hey Phil, just a question. You said that obviously Bitfinex won't be buying back BFX tokens on the market because
I never
it's
said
not,
that.
It's,
I never
no, no,
said
no,
that.
No, on the market because illegal and immoral, like as in 10 cents on the dollar. You know what I mean? Like that side?
No, we will not do that ever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You said that, right? But are you allowed to trade the BitMEX leverage, right? Because it's not even real, kind of, it's just futures, yeah? Are you allowed
to
do that?
No. I am not allowed to. None of the principals are allowed to. We are not allowed to as a company. We've discussed this. None of us are going to try to take advantage of any of these markets, given the information that we have. That would be unethical.
Yeah.
Unethical, period, end of story.
Yeah, cool. I just wanted to ask. Yeah, cool.
What I find interesting is you guys have some plans to make this into an Omnicoin token. So then when it's being redeemed, it'll be interesting how you guys redeem it, because I'm sure it won't be all at once. So I guess people have to send you back the Omni token.
I'm sorry. I only heard part of that. I apologize.
He was asking the question from earlier about how you will redeem the Finex coin when it is out in the wild as an Omni token.
Oh, well, I'll tell you. So one of the reasons why we have not issued it as an Omni token yet is that we're waiting on some functionality from the Omni layer that's not there right now. Specifically, and this is a functionality that they've planned for a while. They've coded, but they just never deployed. Now they have a reason to deploy it, and that is simply the ability to redeem a token with another Omni asset. So the idea is that we want to have. Well, what we need is that if we're going to release these tokens into the wild, we need to be able to announce ahead of time that as of this block height, we are going to redeem X% of the outstanding tokens, and we are going to replace them with this other token. So in the case of BFX, we want to be able to replace it one-for-one on some pro rata basis, replace, shall we say, BFX tokens with Tether tokens. And that's a necessary prerequisite for Omni before we can actually issue Omni tokens that can be extracted and traded away from us.
So you'll be able to do that remotely, like no matter where those BFX tokens are, you'll be able to redeem them remotely.
Yes, but
that's cool.
Exchanges are going to have to be willing to support that. I mean, it's a little complicated. The cool thing is that we're forcing the industry to do something that we've wanted to do for a couple of years, and I think that it's really cool, and I think it's really interesting. And this type of functionality, if we can show that it works, I think it's going to be very. It's going to have utility in a multitude of applications.
Blue Circle, Tether is actually backed by US dollars already, so you don't have to trust it. It's the amount of Tether in existence has a 1-to-1 value with USD that's in an actual bank, so there's no issues there.
They do. And okay, so just to address the FUD surrounding this, yes, we, Bitfinex, are majority owners of Tether. This is true, but Tether is a completely segregated entity. Dollars are all there. Everything's, I mean, there's no breaches there. It's like everything there is 100% kosher. We take great pains to make sure it is. So, I don't know what else I could do to make people feel comfortable about that. Doubt I will, but that's a completely separate thing. So, and 100% accounted for.
I have a sort of off-topic question and very much not probing question. A few days ago, I was reading about Tether before I knew anything about really Bitfinex, and I was trying to figure out what bank it is. And since if you're majority owners, then maybe you would know something about that and where their offices are located and what bank specifically they have there and what jurisdiction they're operating in.
Okay, so we have several banks. In multiple jurisdictions. Our principal banking relationships are in Taiwan. Our back office is there as well. We operate through the same money service operator license that Bitfinex operates through in Hong Kong, but that's not terribly relevant to our operations, but well, that's what I can tell you right now.
Okay, thanks.
Phil, will you be hiring Fawncast to pump BFX coin?
How do I get a hold of him?
I think we can just tweet him. He'll totally just show up in the middle of the night. And
yeah, I'm just joking. But yeah.
People in this room, can you guys just go onto Reddit and upvote that that link just saying that my crypto has been successfully withdrawn from Bitfinex? There's a lot of FUD going around, and for whatever reason, it's getting downvoted. That'd be awesome. Cheers.
I'll upvote it as soon as my withdrawals get out of the pending stage.
Oh, I like playing hard to get.
Mavern. Just to clarify that one sort of point for less transparency is like, and I'm pro transparency in 99.9% cases, but it's from my perspective, it was a very targeted attack towards Phoenix. And I think that, you know, you don't want to sort of give all the information out to people that are clearly, or a team or whoever's behind trying to take them down. You don't want to make that too open.
I think the idea of asking for a case number is a thing that would not hurt anybody. And that is like a standard scenario that happens all the time.
I've been away, but there's a chap earlier that was explaining he works within forensics for these kind of things, and he was saying that you're not allowed to sort of, you just can't come out and mention that stuff. Apparently, media or whatever will find out along the way.
Also, PGP mentioned that he's been in contact, or Bitfenix has been in contact with many people who have claimed to be the hacker. None of which PGP believes to be the actual hacker. But holding back this information is pretty standard because it's a way that the hacker can actually verify himself.
And we don't want to, as a community, have a sort of a freaking chase around like 50, you know, let's say there's five different groups sort of trying to claim that they're the hackers. I mean, it's the last thing we need. Just sort of a vigilante hunt on these sort of, you know, people that are just bullshit.
Yeah, and those details also can verify who the hacker is. How you doing, Aztec?
I'm good, thanks, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, good, man. Just been having a few drinks, chatting away.
Okay, good.
Have you just come online, Aztec?
Yeah, I've just come online. You sound a bit sleepy. What time is it in the UK there?
It's about 7 a.m. I've been up all night. I saw a load of the Olympics.
Oh, you've been up all night?
Yeah, I've been watching some stuff.
Huh? Okay, good. Please don't tell me you've been watching the ETC chart, just slow bleeds.
No. I've had the Olympics on, and then I caught the tail end of this chat. And I have been watching a little bit of ETC since. Just the thing I sent you across, which is public knowledge, you can share that if you want. That's for the meetup stuff. But are you still holding that? I mean, you're...
No, I sold just when it broke three. I mean, I lost a couple of Bitcoin out of it, but I sold when I saw it break three. It bounced and I sold on that bounce, and then that was it. I'm out. Look, that's a good question. I mean, the next sort of base, I've got to check the chart. I think it was 2.4 something or other. 2.41 or 2.49 or something around there. That was the next sort of support level. But I mean, look, who knows? Because we've also got to verify whether this, you know, Polo is in a really interesting scenario because, like, essentially 3 million, you know, ETC has been moved to the exchange. Now, the ETC community has basically said that they recognize that those, you know, those, the extracted coins from DAO are legitimate. So, you know, what do you do? Like, you know, are they, you know, do you essentially freeze that account? I mean, but, you know, or do
Wait. The ETC community has said the coins are legit, but the fact that we believe in transaction finality does not necessarily mean that we think that there was an exploit that occurred here.
No, I'm agreeing with that.
I think that's the important difference.
100%. So, but I definitely
think there was an exploit here. And maybe theft, maybe some. I don't know. It depends on the court law you're talking about, but. But I believe in transaction finality. And look, you're talking to a guy that just had $70+ million of the Bitcoin stolen from him. So, you know, and would I tell people to roll back hard fork and roll it all back?
Yeah, I mean, we can't sort of with Bitcoin, but I was just going to, like, from
no.
this side.
Oh, no, no, we could.
Whoa, we could. It's called but a reorg, and it could have happened in the first 48 hours, but it won't happen.
But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. But what, you know, what I was going to say is that with Phoenix is in sort of, I guess, this legal sort of gray area as to whether they, you know, they can sell the coins or you know, what happens with these 3 million ETC. So in response to what you're saying, Alex, and that is that, you know, from my perspective, that just, that's a lot of coins on the market that's potentially going to be sold off. I've put in some insanely low orders, like, you know, the sort of, just if they by fluke get hit, that's great. But yeah, no, I'm out for the moment because I just think it's, the market's just got a lot of
Factors. So I'll tell you what I think here is that, like, the people that were involved in quote unquote white hat like effort here, like the fact that they're trying to cash out the ETC and not being transparent about it, I don't know. I think that's kind of shady. Anybody else?
Well, what would you do, PGP, if these coins just suddenly appeared on BFX, what would you do? Would you honor them?
The white hat.
Freeze them.
ETH devs.
Freeze them. Yeah, of course you would. Like, everyone's going to freeze them.
They are Ethereum devs. It's Alex van der Sand, and I mean he's come out and openly admitted that he's part of that team. This is the Robin Hood team, isn't it?
I believe in tracking coins and ring fencing and blacklisting. But I also believe in transaction finality. So, you know,
my opinion, and I've said this before, is that if these guys are truly the white hats, they should burn the coins. They shouldn't send them to Poloniex. They should be burnt. Straight away.
Well, that's a purgatorial option, right? I mean, they could do that.
They could also
I would have preferred that option to the refund with the original hard fork that for the DAO. Instead of refunding the money back, I just burn the coins so that the hacker gets nothing. I would have much preferred the scorched earth policy, but no. Nobody listens to me. So, but I think that when it comes to the ETC side of it, yeah, I mean, the Robinhood group, they could either burn it or they could just return it to the proper holders. We can figure that out. But they appear to be doing neither, and that's just weird. I don't even know what to make of
that. Yeah, it is weird. Because it kind of means that, well, it's not suspect. I mean, it's pretty black and white if they move the coins to the exchanges. I mean, there's no sort of, you know, there's no logical rationale.
It's shady as fuck. Come on. Let's not mince words here. I mean, it's okay if they're, like, doing it on behalf of Ethereum, but it's not okay if they're doing it on behalf of ETC.
Ethereum devs doing this.
What's that?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Ethereum devs.
No. But
so what? It does matter. If they're white hats, like, they can't...
But if they're Ethereum devs and they as far as they see it, like, ETC is sort of an embarrassment on their behalf because they didn't, you know, the hard fork didn't go, they didn't obviously put in code that sort of, you know, eliminated the chance of ETC actually running. So, I mean, you know, if they can
know
kill
it affects
ETC.
The price.
Yeah,
know
but
they
why
affect,
would
yeah,
they put
price.
It on an exchange? Like, why the fuck,
to
why
affect
would
the
you
price.
Put it onto it?
To damage the price.
One of both. It's either to damage the price and to accumulate, which is a high probability, or the second thing is to sell. And it's only going to be those two options. There's no other logical option. As to
legally, they've been in hot water if they sell, surely.
Well, I think Polo was getting legal action. Sorry, not legal action. They were taking legal advice as to what the next steps were. Because, you know, like, do they allow them to sell? Or, you know, how does this go? How does this play out?
They transferred 3 million coins to the exchanges. Like, did they drink a quart of tequila?
I think it was.
More like a gallon, but yeah.
This is new territory with relation to sort of, you know, securities, etc., etc. I mean, PGP, you probably know how this is going to be seen more than anything else, but this has a direct effect on a potential perceived securities price, and they know what they're doing, and they're in direct competition to it.
I think from a supply and demand standpoint, I have no problem with, for example, the Dow attacker owns a bunch of EGC coin. You know what? And whoever's following the Dow, the unforked, you know, the original chain, recognizes that and accepts that. But at the same time, and that's simply because the Dow attacker has made no public statements or claims about anything except that he attacked the coin, he attacked the contract, and he managed to extract a certain number of coins, you know, subject to whatever restrictions there are that are expiring and what have you. That's fine. But the, you know, the RHG made a series of public claims about how they're doing what they're doing for, on behalf of the beneficiary interests of the Dow holders, and that's the difference. They made a claim about the fact that they're acting in the interests of X, Y, and Z. Now, whether they're doing that, and they made that claim when there was only one chain. Now the chain is two. And one should reasonably expect that the claim that they make for one should be applicable to the claim for the other. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, like those that there was two prices that Dow was sold at, wasn't there? There was the initial week, and then there was everyone else's price when it was on Poloniex and wherever else. And they said that they were going to make those original Dow token holders that were promised more whole with this white hack. But these guys are obviously sort of in line to gain an equivalent amount of ETC as well. And if they're taking that from them and doing whatever they're doing.
It's a little weird, right? They're talking out of both sides of their mouth.
The only reason they would do that is to possibly sort of hinder the uptick of ETC. And I mean, it's not. Those that are involved in it are involved in it and developing whatever they want to develop, but it's directly affecting those token holders that are in line for the equivalent amount of DAO that this white hack was.
I think that they hold themselves out as a white hacker group to, you know, to try to prevent the further diminution of assets from the DAO, whatever. Whatever their policy is for ETH should be the same policy that they have for ETC. I mean, any deviation in policy is basically fraud. It's fraud.
And if this token of perceived value is seen as having any monetary value, there's theft as well now, if they don't return it to people.
They're a bunch of frauds, yeah. They say, If they're going to apply different ethical standards from one chain to the other,
they've made it quite clear that, like, I mean, yeah, if a single event hasn't proven how corporatized like Ethereum is, I don't know what is. Like, I mean, this truly has shown how absolutely essentially, this is such a power grab by Ethereum. I'm just, they aren't a particularly good company after, like, I mean, it's like a multinational company. Like, it's, I don't know, man. I'm not good with Ethereum. I think there's a lot of dodgy shit coming from their side.
So, what do you think of the Spanish guy when he was doing the one about attacking the DAO? Did you like that?
Say again?
You know the Bruce Wanker guy, and he made one that was making fun of you, but before that, he made one that was making fun of attacking the Dow. What did you think of that one, since that one's more easy for you to comment on?
I have no recollection of that unless you post it in the chat here. I can't see it.
He made three of them, actually, and they were pretty funny. He was saying that ETC is like herpes for Ethereum because it'll stay with it forever, which is pretty funny.
That's pretty funny.
But I'm more concerned with the overt price manipulation of Ethereum, the Ethereum's value, and this impossible way it's held up, almost as if it's just there just seems to be no flaw to it. It just kept on rebounding and rebounding and rebounding, and the day that the Bitfinex hack did occur, it just dropped through that floor. And plummeted. Poloniex appeared to be DDoSed, and then all of a sudden,
yeah. So I've totally seen this thing with the Spanish guy. Very funny.
Yeah, I think quite a few of us agree. This is
one of the best. I mean, I've seen this caption for like a zillion things already, but this is like one of the funnier things I've ever seen.
You gotta own your YPGP. You gotta go around telling everyone it's hilarious and like funny and shit. Own that shit.
It is funny. It's kind of like the Hitler thing with like the fall. Well,
there
was
one for that as well.
Like that. Genius. Yeah.
There's a Hitler one for Ethereum as well. Like there's a whole set of them.
Some good ones, yeah.
But yeah, I know I'm not the only one that thinks that some of the people buying Ethereum have an agenda that they've been pushing. And, I think, we've got no proof, so I guess I can't, I just think it's interesting that certain events happened at times that they did, when Ethereum was certain at certain price points that it was. Like, it just seems, it was just perfectly timed. But, it could have been a fluke, so who knows.
Yo, PGP, you were saying earlier that there's a whole bunch of information that hasn't even been released about the BFX coin. Do you have any ETA on when that information might become available, like in the next month or two or something?
It's so hard to say. And
yeah.
Various parts of it, it's just... Okay, I will acknowledge, amongst the things that we have not released... Total number of tokens outstanding, total size of the hack, total, what's the balance sheet look like after the haircut? What are our revenues, for people that are interested in potentially becoming shareholders? There's a lot of information that we have not released, and I understand, we're trying to get there, but we have a lot of laws that we have to adhere to, and a lot of laws that are easy to break that we're trying not to break, we just want to be careful and circumspect with the information that we release and how we release it and when we release it. So I wish we could be more transparent. Let's put it this way. We're being as transparent as we possibly can be right now. Let me leave it at that.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
Yeah, so guys, I'm going to have to sign off and say goodnight because it's way too late for me and I got a long day tomorrow. So.
All right, not PG.
Thanks
for coming. Brother. Thanks for coming to hang out.
Thank you for indulging me this evening. Thank you.
Have a good one. That's pretty tough.
Hey, and you'll always be one of the boys. So, yeah, it was good to see you again, mate.
Hey, keep your chin up, man.
Good to be here. Good to be here. Good to be here. So, good to be amongst friends. Thanks,
mate.